center, steps back, throws a fade, back shoulder. Cooper Kupp got it! Cooper Kupp brings it in!
Love that, Jack. Love that nice, shiny new intro, breaking all the copyright laws that we can possibly break before someone tells us not to use it anymore. But yeah, love that. We're here for the inaugural. Is inaugural the right word? It sounds like the right word. The inaugural touchdowns for Doe show. We've swapped the little white dimply ball for the slightly larger, slightly different shaped, overlooking pigskin. We are talking NFL. We'll be with you every week, Jack. First show, golf season's winding down, so we thought, why not just get our heads back together and talk about the other sport that we love, the NFL, the American football.
We did. There is meant to be three of us, but someone's gone on holiday. So
yeah, for sure. It's usually my trick.
Yeah, it is normally your trick. But yeah, no, I'm very excited for this new venture of ours. Yeah, I'm just looking forward to it. It's, you know, me, you and Mark are good DFS minds, I would say. When we put them together, it's it works well. I'm going to enjoy this experience of trying to help other people win with the way we play, really. So,
yeah. And I think, like, we wanted to be different. We've both done the kind of DFS shows in the past where, similar how we approach the golf show, where we come on, we talk about golfers. It's a little bit harder in golf because it's individual guys going out there. It's a lot of stats behind it. We've done the whole come on a show and talk about NFL players to death. You've done it, Jack. I've done it. Mark's done it. And do you know what? The whole industry is doing it as well.
Yeah.
We wanted to try and be a little bit different and use this space and time that we've got every week to talk about some of the strategy, some of the things that are going through our minds. We might drop in the odd player or the odd stack here and there, but the main thing is to talk about the kind of things that's helped us along the way, the kind of things that has been like a recipe to success, if you will, where you know, we've all had success playing DFS in this sport. And it's just kind of talking about some of the things that's helped us along the way. Is that fair to say?
Yeah, it's fair to say. Like, you know, DFS is always about learning and evolving. I've found that out. I've played DFS for 6 years now. So I've found that out along the way, the hard way sometimes as well. You try and get too cute and things when you shouldn't try and get too cute, and you know, it comes back to bite you on the ass. To you know, even me as an experienced player, as I class myself now, I'm still learning. I've gone back to basics a bit with the way I enter. I found myself just getting too greedy as of late. You know, you see the big prize pools on DK, you see the, you know, I'm going to play the Millie Maker this week, but that's we'll go into the Millie Maker in a bit, why I'm going to play it this week anyway. But you see that $1 million up top and you think, yeah, I've got the nuts line up this week, you know, I'm going to win it all. And I mean, half the time you don't even cash. So I've learned over the last few weeks not to get too greedy, enter these lower entry sort of contests. And you know, I took a showdown in EPL. I took one down on Friday night's game. It only returned $150, but I mean, it's a great bankroll to start with going into the NFL season, you know. So yeah, that's what I've, you know, DFS for me is always about learning and evolving. And yeah, you can never stop learning within this game. And I just think with the team that we've got, you know, we've got a proven track record in golf. I know many people have messaged all of us in regards to golf, the way we play, we try and we were telling everyone last year we were playing double ups, like we're doing it this way, blah 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 blah. And loads of people were successful following us down that route. So I'm very confident in the team of us as a three. We all bring something a little bit different. I'm probably the most wacky one out of the three of us. So I do some really crazy stuff at times, you know, but that's just the way I play.
Yeah, that's fair. And I think what's good is we've got three minds, or usually we'll have three minds on here that all kind of think and approach it differently. Like the golf, for example, Jack, I know that we are a bit similar in that regard, that we have a small player pool and we might just put literally two lineups in for the week and we'll spread that across different contests. Like, I feel like I probably play the NFL quite similar. I will be playing the Millie Maker myself as well this week, but that's largely because I've won tickets, so I'm going to obviously put some lineups in. But am I expecting to do great things in that? Probably not. I mean, the thing is, when you're entering a contest like that, when you look at how many entries are already in it, there's nigh on 330,000 people that have already entered that. Yeah. And you have, you know, multi-entrants. There's people that are absolutely maxing that out. What is it? 150 entries is the max, isn't it, for the million?
Yeah.
So, you know, if you're entering with a few tickets that you've won, we'll talk through some strategy on this as well, but that's not my style of play and will probably force me to get a little bit wacky, like you've said. I tend to focus on some of the lower entry contests, and like you said, lower entry fee for that matter as well. You probably won't find me in anything above $10 as a single entry kind of thing, because I just don't need to play beyond that. Like, I've had success playing less than that, and it's against a lower pool of people as well, so you don't necessarily have to take as many risks or get as different with your lineup. But again, we'll talk about that as we go through. But yeah, I'm with you. I'm fairly confident in what kind of things we can talk about and the content we can produce, and our track record is there. You know, we've had big wins in multiple sports, and you know, the NFL is a little different.
You took down the Ashes contest last year. You won $1,000 last year. I took down a showdown on Christmas Day. Your LA Rams versus the Broncos. I went really heavily on the Rams. I'm going to talk about a tool that I use in a bit. I've already run it for Thursday night's game. I'm just very confident as us as a three, we all bring something different and unique with the way we play and our mindsets going into things. So yeah, the track record's there. We hope you can join us and follow us along on this ride and hopefully get a win. Hopefully someone wins the Millie Maker this year. That's my dream. That's my goal. I think that's important as well in DFS. I think you should have a goal, and my goal is to win the Millie. As hard as it's going to be, I know it's going to be hard. That's my goal.
Yeah. Anyone wins it, if you've invested even just a few minutes into this show, we do expect our cut from that if we win it. It's only fair. But we've got a bit of a topic list for this week, haven't we, Jack? So let's start running down it, because we do want this to be nice and snappy for people as well, because I appreciate everyone's got busy lives and we want you to digest this content in, we don't want it to be word vomit every week. We want it to be the right kind of length for people to absorb it and understand it. So we'll start off with... we've got obviously the showdown slate on Thursday. We've got Detroit Lions on the road to the Kansas City Chiefs. Now, I'm not a massive showdown player, Jack. I know that you've had a lot of success in showdown, and I've always approached showdown with the whole ethos of there's got to be a bit of a story to tell with this lineup here. And I know that you absolutely do not play showdown in that way. And neither does Mark nowadays, though. I know he used to.
So did I. I think the problem is when you try and tell a story, you can get yourself into a bit of a danger zone. For instance, you could be like, I don't know, so we use this game as an example, the Chiefs and the Lions. You could get in your head by telling yourself a story that the Chiefs, the Lions are going to have to throw, I don't know, a ton because they're going to be behind, which is going to force Jared Goff into interceptions. So I'm going to play the defense or something silly like that in the captain spot. I don't think you should ever play the defense or kickers personally in the captain spot. I don't think that ever works. So I'll let Mark go into it more why he hates it. I just think you lead yourself down a very, very dangerous path when you try and tell yourself a story in Showdown. I personally use a tool called Run the Sims. It's free this week. So if you want to use it for Showdown, completely free. It's a tool that I use. It will run the game over tens of thousands of times for different outcomes, basically. So that's a tool that I use. I've run it for this game, for instance. It's done what I thought it was going to do, which is now giving me, you know, what you're going to get this week in the whole of DFS is you're going to get a lot of casual people playing because, you know, it's first week one, DK throw loads of deals about, blah, 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 blah. It's a $5 entry for the Millie Maker on the main slate, for example. They've priced everyone down on the main slate. They've kind of done something similar with this Showdown slate. So when I run the Sims, it done what I thought it was going to do, which is great for me because I'm going to do a newsletter on this. There's going to be a captain that I think we should be playing in this game. It's probably not what everyone thinks it is. I also don't get why everyone's very high on the Lions. I don't see why they got so good all of a sudden. So I'm going to kind of use that to my advantage this week going into that Showdown slate. I might be wrong, you know, but I don't think I will be. I don't think Jared Goff's a particularly good quarterback personally either. And their number one wide receiver's coming banged up into this game. But yeah, so that's I approach Showdown. I play single entry. That's it. I don't even if I'm playing the Millie Maker. For instance, for this Millie Maker, for this Showdown slate, I've got 5 tickets I've won. So I'm just gonna. I know what I'm doing. I'm jamming the same captain in every single lineup, and then I'll just alter it, hand build it, and alter it throughout the way I want to. But yeah, telling yourself a story. Back to your original question, can lead you down a very dangerous path and a path to losing constantly for me in Showdown. Mark might have different views on it, but that's kind of from experience. I've done it. I've talked myself into playing a defense in the captain spot. It very, very rarely works out. And again, going back to the original statement, I don't think you should be ever play a kicker or a defense in the captain spot.
Yeah, I think if I, and I will play the Showdown slate on Thursday for the Chiefs and the Lions game. I think what I've found is, and I am going to move away from the whole tell the story thing. And I think the reason I am going to do that is because, like you said, Jack, you can have a scenario in mind that you've built your lineup for. And the outcome of the game, the way that the game goes, you may be what you were building your lineup, your story around, but you've not got the right pieces in it because you've tried to be too clever or too intelligent with how the game's actually going to go. I think if you were entering multi-lineups into it, then I think there's potentially a case to be made for a story there because you can cover a lot of different angles if you're doing multi-entry. Say you're putting 20 lineups in, you could think, well, for X amount of the lineups, I think, like you said, that the Lions are going to be playing from behind, which is going to force Jared Goff to throw more. So I'm going to put some lineups in that benefit that in terms of his receivers maybe, but I'm also going to throw some lineups in that also play the Chiefs defense and cover it from that kind of perspective. But I think if you're just putting one lineup in, if your story doesn't pan out the way that you had intended it to, you're probably just not going to cash because you've just not got the right guys in there. And I think the way that I'm probably going to approach Showdown this season is going to be more along the lines of who do I think is going to win that game? And I'm going to stack most likely three or four from that winning team with just a couple of bring backs along the way. And I'm just probably going to plow in maybe one or two of those players who I think they've got a really good chance of putting up some points. And not really kind of relating it to an outcome or trying to predict too much in how the game's going to go. It's probably just going to be a wide receiver one or two, depending on the cornerback that they're against. And maybe throw a running back in there as well. I think that's how I'm going to approach it.
I think you have to be, in regards to this game as well on Thursday, a lot of people are going to probably try and jam in one of these wide receivers, now, especially with this Kelce injury. A lot of people are going to try and jam in one of these wide receivers at the captain spot, which I think is a very bad idea. Like one of the Chiefs wide receivers, I actually think it's a really bad idea because, what one of these guys is going to catch the ball? Like there's so many of them. You've got Sky Moore, Valdes-Scantling, Justin Watson, Richie James, Kadarius Toney, who's meant to be on a snap count, but going to play some. So I think you're playing a very, very dangerous game there. And like you say, by doing that, you're just not going to get the right pieces in and around it either. So I don't think that's a, I think that's a very dangerous game to do that. I'll go back to, before we move on to the next subject, the showdown slate that I took down on Christmas Day. I run the Sims. I saw what the Sims were doing. Everyone was playing the Broncos for some reason because they just thought the Rams were still a really bad team. Obviously, it was at the end of the year. Baker Mayfield was playing for the Rams at quarterback. I'll tell you my team. So I played Cam Akers in the captain spot. He went nuts in that game. And he was really out of favour at that point as well. They were using Williams, was it? Like the third running back in places. McVay, just him and McVay must have had some sort of argument. Anyway. I played Akers in the captain spot. I played Baker Mayfield, Tyler Higbee, who got two touchdowns in that game, I believe, as well. Gay, the kicker for the Rams in the flex spot. The Rams defense, who also went nuts because I think they had about four picks on Mr. Unlimited himself, Russell Wilson. And then I had Jerry Jeudy, who was the only receiver that Russell Wilson was throwing to, actually connecting with in that game. So, you know, that was a heavy 5-1 stack. I I'm not trying to promote a tool that, you know, I get nothing out of this trying to promote this tool. But what this tool tells me is what other people are doing within this game. For showdown. So if I'm playing a single entry, I can get different, but I can get different in a way that makes sense, as Nick says. Like, you know, I playing the Cam Akers there and then play, I've got all the pieces of the Rams around him, you know. And then I've also got the bring back, you know, by that point, I think Jerry Jeudy was the only healthy wide receiver the Broncos had. So the ball had to go to him. Like, it was, you know, it wasn't going to go to one of these three Titans that they used. The ball had to go to Jeudy. Again, using a tool like that, I think it's very beneficial. And it's free this week, so you might as well use it.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think just before we do move on to that next topic, Jack, I think if you're playing single entry in showdown, that's interesting in itself because if you were putting in one entry and you were entering that into a multi-entry contest like the Millie Maker, for example, think of all the different combinations of lineup those multi-entrants can put in and think of how much that is reducing your like a chance of actually winning that contest. Put it into betting terms. If you were to bet, I don't know, a United midfielder to score. I'm just using this as an example here. But let's say you put a bet on for Christian Eriksen to score. Someone else comes along and bets Garnacho, bets Bruno Fernandes, bets everyone else basically and puts another five or six bets on. More chance of their bet coming in, theoretically. Now, we know it doesn't always work like that because it is sport, it is variable. All the pieces do still need to align. But I think showdown is a good contest to play with a single lineup because you only have to beat the next person's lineup. Which, to be honest, I think when I've played Showdown in the past, that's maybe something I've done wrong with it as well and been too greedy. When actually I should have been playing maybe some of the lower entries, maybe even trying to target some tickets along the way, which I know Mark is a big advocate of chasing the tickets, and he's had us on it in recent weeks. So it's a good way of approaching it. Let's talk Millie Maker, Jack. So we are forced into the Millie Maker this week, but in all honesty, at $5, we'd have been putting a lineup in and dreaming the dream. Millie Maker, you claim wacky. Talk to me about your Millie Maker thoughts going into week one.
I think wacky, again, for single entry, if you're going to play one entry into the Millie Maker, like you said, there's people in there that are entering 150 lineups, and they're using all of these tools, optimizers and things, jamming in tons of rules that they want. The odds of them winning over you is, far greater. So that forces you, if you are going to play it in a single entry, you have to get wacky. There's no, you're going to have to get very different. And for week one, for what I'm seeing, the Chargers and the Dolphins is the most popular game on the slate, with an over under total of 51 on that at the minute, which is fine. I want pieces of that game, no doubt. But you're going to have to get wacky elsewhere. And, there's a game that I'll write about in our newsletter coming out later in the week for the Millie Maker. There's a game that I like that no one's really on, and you've got two young quarterbacks in it, in a dome, with one side have got quite elite weapons on their offense. And they're both going against two very bad defenses. So I think you can heavily stack that game and then jam in your Dolphins and your Chargers pieces later on. Because, not all chalk is bad chalk. You don't want to... I think the bad chalk is defense. Just the Washington defense, for example, this week will be the highest owned because they're playing the Cardinals and Dobbs. I'm not saying it can't get there. It probably can. But just pay down at defense. There's no need to pay up at it. Just, anything can happen. I just tend to target defenses myself that are in a game where there's a lot of throwing. There's going to be a high total on the game, so why not target one of them defenses, because there's gonna be a lot of throwing and probably a lot of turnovers in the game as well. So that's kind of what I do with it. I just get the cheapest one that I can and go with that. I don't really care for it, to be honest. But that's my initial thoughts with like the Millie this week. You can have to get very different if you're playing single entry. I've got quite a few tickets for the Millie Maker this week. As you mentioned earlier, Mark's had us chasing after tickets for weeks. So I've got quite a few entries into this week. I'm very comfortable with the way I'm going into it at the minute with this game stack that I'm on about. It might blow up in my face. I'm sure it will. There's a couple of game stacks that I like. I like the Seahawks and the Rams game as a game stack. I think that you can really heavily stack that and get that cheap as well. And I also believe within the Millie Maker that we need to start doing what we do in baseball DFS, like just go on a full on game stack. Like in baseball DFS, Nick, I know you play it. We normally do, what is it, a 5 and a 3 stack. That's the normal common theme within MLB, stacking to your stack 5 batters from one side and then 3 on the other, on another team, sorry, in another game. I've seen this work in the Millie Maker. I saw someone who I quite respect in the industry who win last year. He won, I think it was in week 4, the Millie Maker. He won on the Seahawks-Lions game, and he went in with a heavy, heavy game stack. It was Geno at quarterback. It was Metcalf and Lockett. And then he bought it back with Reynolds, the Lions receiver, and St. Brown, I believe, something like that. And it was Hockenson at tight end. I've seen this a lot recently in the Millie Maker wins. And it just makes sense. You know, we do it in other sports. Why are we not doing it for NFL? If the game goes off, you are laughing if you've got the right pieces around it.
Yeah. And I think it kind of touches a little bit on roster construction here as well, which is something that we were going to discuss. But I was listening to a podcast earlier. I'll name drop them in. It was the Fantasy Footballers. And they were going through some quite interesting stats on they'd analysed the previous Millie Maker contest or previous Millie Maker contest, because those stats are out there in the ether. And the lineups that win, 90% of those lineups would have like a two-player stack. So for anyone who's new to DFS this year, a stack is basically, you know, if you were playing... why am I struggling to think of a quarterback? Say you're playing a Patrick Mahomes. Yep. A stack would then be if you're playing, say, Travis Kelce with Patrick Mahomes. If Patrick Mahomes has a good game, chances are Travis Kelce's going to have a good game because he's his go-to receiver, tight end. You know, I know he's a tight end, but he's essentially a receiver the way he scores. Fantasy production wise, that is a stack. Now, what they were saying was of winning lineups, 90% of those lineups that cash will have at least a one player stack. And then it reduces a little bit from say 90%, and this isn't the exact statistic, but it might drop from say 90% down to 75% of lineups that will cash that will then have a three-player stack. So in that kind of case, you might have, like you've just mentioned, Jack, you like the Seahawks and the Rams game, you might stack a Geno Smith, and there's a case to be made then for you to also stack Metcalf and potentially lock it, because either receiver has potential on any given week to both score and to both go off for, say, 80 to 100 yards plus, multiple receptions. So there's a case for that. There's also potentially a case where the Seahawks are playing the Rams. The Rams can't stop the run. To build that stack, but also build it with Walker plus one receiver. Yeah. You know, some people, you try and dictate the way that a game is going to go, you know, or they're playing a really poor secondary, so they're going to be passing the hell out of them. But actually, the teams that have productive running backs, like, for example, you mentioned the Miami and Chargers game, you could quite easily play Herbert. You could quite easily play Eckler, because we know that even in a heavy passing game, he's going to see production.
Yep.
They're always going to run the ball. He's still going to get his touches. But then there's a case then to be made to also play Keenan Allen. And like you've said there, Jack, you know, in terms of roster construction, when we look at MLB and how heavily we stack in that, we're stacking because, you know, you're stacking certain players from a batting order, because if they do well, then the chances are they're going to be batting the runs in, and then you've got someone else top of the order that's potentially on a bit of a hot streak. You know, that a number of reasons why we stack in that way, and I think you can apply that same logic to this as well, in that if there is a game that you think is going to be a high scorer, we'll use the Miami and the Chargers game for example, and you know, if you're hanging your hat on the Chargers per se, absolutely viable to put in a three-player stack and maybe even bring it back with one or two Miami players if you think it's going to be a high scorer. And that in itself is also viable because Tyreek Hill and Jalen Waddle are both so productive, and that is largely down to when two as healthy as well. You know, that has a big say in that. But I think when you think from like a Millie Maker perspective and you're trying to get a little bit different with your lineup build, if you're stacking more players, there's less of the field that are going to be doing that and less of the field that are cashing that are also doing that. Statistically, that's factual. you're also then bringing it back with a player from the other side, at least one player. If you think that's a game that's going to go off, it's straight away your lineup is going to start looking different to even a lot of the field that are just cashing. Yep. Simply because of the size of the stack and what you're also partnering with it. You know, if you think it's a correlating game, go down that route. You then don't necessarily need to be as different elsewhere in your lineup. You still want a little bit of low ownership in there, maybe on one or two players, but you probably don't have to get as different because the way that you've constructed your lineup is different to a lot of the field that are cashing anyway.
Yep. No, sorry.
Mind drop.
No, I totally agree with you. You know, we do this in, as I've said this, I'm going to preach it. We do this in other sports. Why don't we do it in NFL? And I think it's like you mentioned, the stats wise and everything, you've got more chance of hitting the millie by doing something like this, in my opinion, than just, you know, doing your single Patrick Mahomes and Travis Kelce stack and they're playing the Lions, I'll bring St. Brown back with them. You're one player and one bring back stack. Stats wise, if that game goes off, like you mentioned, the Dolphins and the Chargers, which is the popular game this week, it's the chalky game. Then if you fully load that with Herbert, Eckler, Keenan Allen, Waddle, Tyreek Hill, and they all go nuts, you know, you're going to be laughing come the end of the day. So preach it. We do it in other sports. We need to start doing it in the NFL in big GPP tournaments like the Millie Maker, in my opinion.
Agree. When I took the Ashes down last year for the $1,000, like when you look back at that lineup, there was a stack with the quarterback. I had Tua, I had Tyreek Hill. And then when you look at the rest of the lineup, like, normally, a stack will be a quarterback plus a wide receiver one, or a quarterback plus wide receiver one, wide receiver two, or wide receiver one, running back, wide receiver one, tight end, so on and so forth. But I actually stacked in that game DJ Moore and Deonta Foreman. Now, he had clear pathway to carries in that game. They were playing the Falcons. Falcons were a poor run defense. Yeah. But because it was a high scoring game, and because it literally, I think that game went down to the wire as well. DJ Moore went off big time. You know, like that is, you wouldn't see as often a stack of a running back and a wide receiver because people paint the picture in the head of, this game's going to be dictated one way or the other. They're either going to ram it down the throats with the running back or they're going to pass. And actually, looking back at that, I'm like, that in the lineup accounted for 65 of the lineup's points. Like, you're not, you know, like nearly 238 points that lineup had. That would have scored so well in any contest it would have entered in that weekend. In a single entry, you're probably taking it down with 200, 210, 215 maybe. Yeah. You know, like it absolutely waltzed home. And that was with a poor score from a tight end and a poor score from a defense as well, which again backs up what you said, Jack. You might as well just pay down at defense because it's so variable anyway. And we know that there's not a lot of production that comes from the tight end position outside of the likes of Travis Kelce. Occasionally Mark Andrews you can sprinkle in, and TJ Hockenson with the odd game here and there. But largely the production is very variable. It is normally low. The rest of the lineup did the work there.
Just back to defense. I honestly think that's one of the worst positions you can eat chalk at. I really do. I think it's just such a bad move in most formats, even in cash, to be fair. I don't really, like you say, there's so much variance with that position. I don't really care. I'm just not going to eat the chalk at that position. I don't care.
Yeah. I think we'll wrap up, Jack, with a little bit of low entry because we we play low entry. You know, like I've played single entry for so long because almost a bit lazy, really. I don't like building lineup after lineup after lineup, and I know that there's optimizers that do that for you, but I'd rather build a lineup and go in with that one lineup in either a single entry or a three entry contest, knowing that I only have to beat the next person with that lineup. And it's how I play most of my DFS, whether that's golf, NFL, college ball, EPL. Like most of the things I play, I will just target 1 to 3 max entry limit. And just take the small pops and the small wins, and like you said, build that bankroll up, because alongside that, I'll also probably be playing some cash as well, which is going to help me. But in terms of those low entry GPP kind of strategies, do you approach them any differently to how you might approach your milli lineups?
Oh yeah, of course. Yeah. I mean, you know, the game that I'm targeting for my milli maker, one of my milli maker lineups this week, I'm certainly, I want no part of it. In a single entry competition, like where there's like 200 people in the contest or whatever, like I want no part of that game at all. It's just so risky what I'm about to do in the minimaker, but that's the way I play. I'm a wacky person within DFS. Everyone's probably seen, you know, the little things we put out of ourselves on the Twitter handle. My DFS motto is get out of your comfort zone. You know, that's the way I play in these large field GPPs. But for single entry and that, no, certainly not. I eat a lot of the chalk, get different with one or two players that I like for the week, and that's kind of it. I kind of approach it like how I approach cash, really. I think cash is just brilliant. Like I love it for golf, for double ups that we play. I have a rule with golf that I play double ups. I play $20 of double ups, and I play $20 of GPPs. So my outlay for the week is $40. I'd say 80% of the time last year I cashed in my cash lineups, my double ups. So I got my outlay back every week for 80% of those weeks last week in golf. I'm going to do similar for NFL this year as well. I think it's a great way to keep your bankroll steady and keep it moving. And like you say, these single entry low field competitions on DK are they're great for building your bankroll. Like I said, I took down the EPL showdown on Friday. It was $150. Great. What a start to my NFL bankroll that is. You know, like just leave it in there, leave it in the account, ticking over. So yeah, they're great. Like going right back to what we said at the beginning, like I've learned over the last few weeks, I've just been playing greedily within DK. Like I see the money at the top. Yeah, I've done it. You know, I've won $10,000. I've done it. But you, in your head, you think you can do it all the time, when realistically, that's not going to happen. So you need to be more realistic with yourself. Just don't get greedy at the end of the day, and play sensibly.
Yeah. And I think with those lower entry kind of lineups, like I'd approach that a little bit differently as well to Millie, because I think you can be a bit safer with lower entry lineups, because it's a smaller pool that you're competing against. And because it's a smaller pool, you don't have to take as many risks. So I don't think ownership is as important. It's not necessarily kind of at the cash level where you can be really safe, because you're only beating 50% of the field to cash. You still have to be mindful of ownership, I think, in lower entry, but I don't think you need to be as different or get kind of like as quirky as you might need to in a milli maker, for example. So I'll still probably target maybe one or two guys that might have ownership of under 10%, but then most of the rest of my lineup, they'll probably be three players that are quite highly owned, and the rest of the lineup will probably be somewhere between 10 and 20%. And that's absolutely fine. Like that gives me a chance then of getting that lineup in the cash, because I know that everyone else that's playing that lineup, that's playing that contest, only has the same number of lineups as I do. You know, when it comes to the actual construction, yes, that is important as well. But again, I don't think you need to get super different with it. That said, some of the things that we've mentioned tonight about stacking games and things like that, there's a lot of the field that probably wouldn't do that. So if you get the right game and that game goes off, your lineup's going to be well up there.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's, I prefer playing that. And I would encourage anyone that is new to playing DFS this year, and especially this format of DFS, to be mindful of the entry limit in those contests and try and target anything between sort of 1 and 3 entry max. And like you said, Jack, don't be greedy. Play within your limits and learn from it as well. You know, go back every week, have a look at what lineups have cashed, what's in the top 10, how have they built their roster? How's it different to how you've built your roster? And we'll probably look at stuff like that week on week, where we start looking at, you know, we've mentioned in the chat today about maybe looking at some of the Millie lineups. And a lot of it, you know, is going to be down to luck, as is anything when you gamble, because we don't know the outcome and we can't predict it. But what we can do is give ourselves as good a chance as possible by building the roster in a certain way, so that if there is a game that goes off or a certain outcome, we've got it covered. But yeah, like, I love single entry. And it's mostly all I play, to be honest.
No, no, it's great. It is great. Like I say, over the last few weeks, I've had to rein it back just because, you know, you can't keep losing. At the end of the day, like, it's, you know, it's not good. But you know, when you do see the big money up top, it's very tempting, you know. So you just rein it back and you play these single entries. And like you say, you don't have to get as different. You get different with one or two players, and you know, that's your leverage to the rest of the field. Then you know most of the guys in that field are going to be playing, for instance, this week, a Chargers and a Dolphins stack of some sort. They're all going to be playing the same sort of players that you're playing there. And then you just get, I don't know, let's just say you go to the Tennessee Saints game, you know, Jamal Williams is going to be the number one running back there. Like, you put him in, he might be chalking the single entry there. So if you want to get different, I don't know, I'm just trying to think off the top of my head, a game that you can get different in. Let's say you go to the Raiders Broncos game and you think Jacoby Myers, for example. I'm not advocating someone like that, but you just think he's going to be a low owned player. Oh, I think he could go off here because the Broncos are going to have to double team Devontae Adams, or, you know, they're going to have to, you know, keep an eye on Devontae Adams in this game. Jacoby Myers is going to get all the work because Garoppolo can only throw for 4 yards down the field. So, like, you know, like, that's where you get a bit different or something like that. But yeah, single entry is great. Eating chalk in the Millie, yeah, fine, you can do it. But I think you need to get different with a stack in Millie, personally.
Yeah, I agree. And you mentioned, like, Jamal Williams, for example, though, and we've not really spoke about leverage players much tonight, and I've no doubt that will come in the weeks to come, because I know Matt loves a good leverage player. But you know, if you're approaching that lineup build and you're thinking, well, Jamal Williams, like you said, we know he's going to be number one running back. He's coming off a strong season in Detroit. He moves to New Orleans. Kamara's had success there for years. You know, new quarterback at the helm, new head coach. He is probably going to be chalk this week because he's dirt cheap as well on the slate. He's 5,100. But if you think, do you know what, that's chalky, I don't want to go there, but I do want something from that game, leverage off Jamal Williams and go and target someone like a Michael Thomas, who's exactly the same price. And potentially, I mean, it's quite easily, Michael Thomas could outscore Jamal Williams, because if the run game gets shut down, Michael Thomas, we know what he is. He's a receiver that moves the chains. He's high receptions when he gets going. I mean, it's Derek Carr, isn't it, now in New Orleans?
Yeah.
I've no doubt Derek Carr is going to get accustomed very quickly to Michael Thomas, because he is that chain mover there. He has been for a number of years. So if you want to leverage away from that and target someone that will be lower owned, and Mike Thomas will be, he will be lower owned than Jamal Williams this week, then maybe that is your play. And that makes you a little bit different to
however many 20% of the people that have picked Jamal Williams.
Yeah, or you play the Titans defense, which got the most pressure on quarterbacks last year. And I know it's last year, but they did get the most quarterbacks on most pressure on quarterbacks last year. And we've seen what Derek Carr's like under pressure. So you know, that's another leverage. It's just a totally different way you can go. Like, and it's, you know, and then that game script then you've got in your head, that's forcing Derek Carr. He's going to have to throw a lot. The Titans defense is going to go nuclear, for example, like, you know, has the potential to go nuclear. So, yeah, that's, Mark can talk more about the leverage plays, but, you know, there's just a couple of examples of ways you can get very different.
Yeah. I think that wraps us up, Jack. I feel like we've gone from topic to topic to topic, bounced around a little bit there. And we're just, do you know what? We're going to do this every week like this. We want it to be a bit of a roundtable discussion. It'll be great when Mark's in because he is a different DFS mind to us. More game theory there from Mark, and he'll talk a lot more about construction and leverage plays, and it'll be really good when we've got him in as well. I have really enjoyed this though. You know, we've covered everything off that we wanted to. We've not gone too much over time as well, which is always a plus.
Yep.
And hopefully going into week one, which is probably the most variable week of the season, hopefully we've given you something that you can take away and have a little bit of a think about when you're building your lineups in the weeks to come. I've no doubt we'll revisit a lot of what we've discussed tonight. And, you know, like you said, right at the start, Jack, we're learning, we're adapting, we're evolving our mindset, and we'll do that week on week. We'll go back, we'll look at some of the mistakes that we've made, we'll look at some of the things that we might look to change, might even look at some of those lineups that have won as well along the way, but we'll always have our little list of topics. Anything that you want to say before we sign off, Jack?
We do have a newsletter, so just go over to Touchdowns for Doe, sign up completely free. I'm going to have something out, a little piece on the showdown slate for Thursday night's game, and then there'll be another one out for the main slate, which focusing on the Millie Maker in general.
Nice. All for free. What more could you ask? We will be back with you again next week. I don't know if Mark is on next week or whether he's still holidaying it up, but it has been a blast. We are Touchdowns for Doe, and we will see you next Tuesday. Best of luck week one.